Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Asbury. What a joy it is to see all of you this morning. Welcome to worship. Welcome to Children's Sabbath. We've got a beautiful morning, and our children are here, and they're going to be helpful. Are you all ready to go this morning? Okay. They kind of shook their head. They were a lot more energetic 30 seconds ago. If you're here in the sanctuary, thank you for being here. If you're joining us online, we pray that this service is a blessing to you. This morning, our message is going to be on Jonah, and so we pray that that is a blessing to you as well. Two announcements before we get started. First of all, next Sunday is Laity Sunday, and so we pray that you join us for that. Amy Livers will be preaching in both services, and so we are excited to hear her share the Word of God with us. And then the following Sunday, the 23rd, is a very busy Sunday in the life of the church, so please, please clear your calendars. We have worship in the morning, we have stone soup in the afternoon, and trunk or treat, and the fall festival in the late evening. So 1:30 at stone soup, 4 o'clock back here for a time of fellowship and a great day with the kids and the candy and all that good stuff. So we pray that you're here with us on that day. And with that, I invite you to prepare your hearts and minds as we begin our time of worship together.
The call to worship. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." We come with each of us as child of God. Jesus said, "It is such as through these that the region of God belongs. We come to recognize that each child is already part of God's kingdom. Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, number 122. Sometimes we duck under the table, hoping you didn't notice us when you walked into the room. You call us, and sometimes we grab a stapler and a stack of papers, trying to look too busy to be bothered at the moment. You call us, and sometimes we just say no. We know that we aren't expected to do everything, but we often forget that you call us to be ourselves. In the places of yourself is what is most needed. So give us the grace to say yes to your call, even today. Amen.
Yeah.
like to invite our children to stay, and Seth Harward is going to come and share our children's message today.
Guys, how are y'all guys doing today? Good. That's great. Do you guys like to play hide and seek?
Yes.
Do you guys know how to play it?
Yes.
Cool. Well, me and my family, we like playing hide and seek a lot, and we do a game where like we turn off the lights and we have to hide, and it's really hard to find. And do you think you guys can hide from God? No. Cool. Who knows the story of Jonah and the whale? Would you like to tell me about it? Anyone? Well, if you don't know the story of Jonah, here it is. Jonah was a prophet of God. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell them to stop doing bad things. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He did not like the people of Nineveh. He was afraid of them. So he tried to hide from God on a ship that went away from Nineveh. Well, a big storm came that scared the people of the ship. They tried to figure out why God was so mad. Jonah told him that it was because he was hiding from his God. So Jonah told him to throw him overboard into the water. The sea became calm, and then Jonah was swallowed by a big whale for 3 days. And in that time, Jonah learned a valuable lesson that no matter what you try and do, you can never hide from God, because God created you and he knows your every thought. And take one of these, I have a little treat for y'all. Take one of these Swedish fish to remember the story of Jonah, that God loves you and you can never hide from. Here you go. You want one?
Okay.
I already gave you one. Oh yeah, gave you one. Oh, okay, sorry, Jimmy. Let's pray. God, we know we can't hide from you. You know what we do and think. Give us courage and strength to do all you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey there, I like to cut things out and play with Play-Doh.
Trunk or treat.
I love Asbury because I like Sunday salad and I like the shots.
I like to go to Asbury because I like to sing.
I love Asbury because I get to worship God.
I love Asbury because of my Sunday school.
There's donuts.
My favorite thing about Asbury is how good of like a community it is.
My favorite thing about Asbury is I always feel welcome here, and that everything is just so nice.
Kids Club.
I love Toby because we get to go to Sunday school.
I like to do music because I like to sing it.
I love about church is that we get to sing songs and we get to have fun.
Favorite part about Asbury is Sunday school.
Favorite part of Asbury is that everybody's so welcoming and kind, and I just love it.
We love Asbury so much.
We want you to come and bring a friend, so you can and your friend can enjoy all the fun things
we have. Bye!
Let us pray. God, it's hard to forgive when people are mean. When they hurt us, we want to hurt them back. But we know when we are sorry for our mistakes. You forgive us. Help us not to hate, but to love. We pray especially for Clifford Smith, June Glazer, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Megan Arnold, Joyce Dennis, Jean Hammett, Mark Schimmer, Val Carr, David Hickman, Barbara Dover's family, Mary Curtis, hurricane survivors, and Christian Dawson. Now we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I stand over here and do this. I'll be 9 feet tall if I stand on that box. As we prepare our hearts and minds for the time of offertory, I hope that this morning has reminded us of the joys of childlike faith. When we just come to God and we just lean into our faith, it's a beautiful moment. And when we give and participate in the kingdom building process, we have an opportunity to give in that way, to give faithfully, not knowing what's going to happen down the road. And what's happened down the road here at Asbury is that these children here today have a wonderful place to come to learn about God. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can scan your little Connect card. It'll tell you all the different ways to give. If you're watching online, you can scan the QR code and you can learn all those avenues as well. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this beautiful moment, this opportunity to gather together to praise and glorify you, to participate in the kingdom building process you call us to participate in. As we see these wonderful children leading us in worship today, we are reminded of how you look to the future in our lives and how this church here at Asbury has become such a wonderful place for children to come and know about your love. And so God, this morning, may we continue to provide that opportunity. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 5 and verse 10. And then the word of the Lord came upon Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and proclaim to her the message I speak to you." So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's word. Now to God, Nineveh was a large city, a three-day walk. Jonah began to enter the city one day's walk. And then he cried out and said, 40 days, Nineveh is overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed in God, called a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When God saw how they repented of their evil way, God was sorry over the evil he said he would do to them, and he didn't do it. This is the word of God from the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank y'all so much. How good is it to see a children's choir after 3 years of absence? Amen? Yeah. I really appreciate all that the kids have done, and especially also everything that their adult supporters have done as well to put together today's service. I do want to make you aware, we learned just this morning that Fred Williams passed away yesterday, and so we want to be in prayer for Fred's family, and as soon as we know the arrangements and so on, we'll let everyone know. I do want to give you a nice warm welcome. I'm glad that you're here. It's nice to see y'all in the sanctuary today, and a warm welcome to those of you who are worshiping online, either Sunday morning or later on at your convenience. I have to confess, I love the story of Jonah. I remember that one of the very first books in my early library was a little storybook that had the story of Jonah in it. And it was a very simple narrative about a disobedient prophet who gets swallowed by a fish. And when I was young, I always wondered, did that really happen? Can you live in the belly of a fish for 3 days? But when I got older, I learned the backstory, and it made me see the book of Jonah in a different light. The power of the story of Jonah the prophet is in the telling of that story, and so that's basically what I'm going to do today in our sermon. It's helpful for us to have three things in mind. First of all, the book of Jonah was written much later than the lifetime of Jonah. So Jonah, the prophet, who's mentioned one other place in the Bible, lived in about 700 BC. But most biblical scholars believe that the book was written in its form at least 300 years later. So what was going on 300 years later? Well, the Jews had returned from exile in Babylon, and now they were in Jerusalem, and they were rebuilding. And this brings us to the second thing to keep in mind. When the exiles returned home, they had a big fight about foreigners in their country. Some people, like Ezra and Nehemiah, said, all the foreigners got to go. And if you're a Jewish man and you have married a foreigner, you must divorce your wife and send her and your children packing. Ezra and Nehemiah had that kind of a harsh treatment toward immigrants. But the book of Jonah argues the other side. So pay attention as we go along to how the foreigners respond to God, and contrast that with how Jonah, The prophet, the Jewish prophet, responds to God. The third thing to keep in mind is that Jesus sides with the book of Jonah over Ezra and Nehemiah. You may remember that Jesus got in a lot of trouble for preaching, healing, and teaching and ministering to the Gentiles, the foreigners of his day. And in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 41, Jesus reminds his opponents that Jonah is the way to go. So, let's not get too hung up on whether or not a guy could live in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Because if we do, we may miss the essential point of the book of Jonah, which is a question, and it's this. What if God loves the people we hate? Would you pray with me? God of us all, we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us wherever we are gathered, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. And so it happened that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim over them, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And who could blame him, really? Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Assyria had committed, let's just call them war crimes, against Israel and Judah in the old days when Tiglath-Pileser III was the king. When I say Tiglath-Pileser III, everybody's supposed to gasp. So Tiglath-Pileser III. Don't worry, the Hebrews couldn't pronounce that either, so in the Bible they just called him Pul. But anyway, Tiglath-Pileser III would make Putin's war crimes look like the stuff of babies, kindergarten bullies. And so when God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, far to the east, the capital of Assyria, Jonah does what most of us would do. He runs down to Joppa in the opposite direction and buys a ticket to Tarshish. We have no idea where Tarshish was. It's the Hebrew Bible's way of saying anywhere but there. Amen? Anywhere but there. And so he pays his fare. He goes down in goes to the ship to escape the Lord's presence. And of course, you and I and everybody knows you can't escape the presence of the Lord, as we will soon see, because immediately, just when they get out into the harbor in the ship, the Lord throws a great wind upon the sea, and the sea begins to froth and foam, and lightning comes down, and tornadoes, and it's like a hurricane. And the sailors, these seasoned Phoenician or perhaps Greek sailors, at least they were polytheists, we know that. These sailors are so scared to death that they start to cry out, each one to his gods. Which God have we ticked off this time? Who do we need to pray to fix this mess? Amen? They started throwing the vessels and the ship overboard into the sea to lighten their burden, to try to save the ship. The Bible says that the ship itself was so scared that it thought it was going to break apart. So while they're throwing off the vessels and to lighten the burden, Jonah goes down to the rear of the ship, to his cabin, and climbs in bed and goes to sleep. Well, while the men are working on the deck above, the captain looks around and realizes that somebody is missing. Somebody is not praying to his God. And so he goes down and bangs on the door and says, wake up, why are you snoring? Call to your gods. Maybe one of them will show up and take notice of us and we won't die out here. Jonah kind of rubs the sleep from his eye. And he walks up to the deck and he looks around. And when he gets there, he sees that these Phoenician or Greek sailors are casting lots, as they would do, trying to figure out who was the cause, who was responsible for their misfortune. Well, the lots fall, and of course, because God's in charge, the lot falls to Jonah. And so they all look at him and they say, tell us who you are. And who are your gods? What have you done to get us in this mess? Well, that's all Jonah needs to start bragging about who his God is. Well, my God is the Lord. I am a Hebrew of the chosen people, and our God is the God who created the universe, the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords. He created the heavens and the earth. And the sailors look at him and say, "What have you done to tick him off? And why would you do such an ignorant thing?" They all knew that he had run away because he had already told them that. So they say to him, "What may we do to you so that the sea will calm down around us?" Jonah says, "Well, just pick me up and throw me overboard, and the sea will calm down all around us, because I know that it is because of me that this great storm has risen up." But the men were reluctant to sacrifice somebody they barely knew, and so each one grabbed an oar, and they rowed as hard and as fast as they possibly could to no avail. Finally, they got together and they prayed to Jonah's God. And basically what they say in their prayer is, "We are so sorry. We've done everything that we can, and we have run out of ideas. Please don't hold us accountable for what we're about to do." And then they throw him overboard. Immediately, the sea becomes a dead calm. The Bible says the sailors feared the Lord with great fear, and they worshiped, they sacrificed to the Lord, and they vowed vows. Now, friends, we've already seen you cannot escape the presence of the Lord, and so sure enough, the presence of the Lord is down beneath the waves as well. And so the Lord supplied a great fish, is what the Hebrew says. They did not have a different word for whale, so maybe it's okay that we think of it as a whale. But ironically, I mean, you can read this story too closely. The first time the word fish is used in the Hebrew, it's a male fish, and the second time it's used is a female fish. And some of the ancient rabbis decided that Jonah was swallowed by a male fish and then regurgitated and then found himself in the belly of a second female fish. That's really reading the story of Jonah too closely. Amen? We can get lost in the details. But anyway, by the way, this is for free. In Hebrew, the word dog means fish. So a dog is a fish, I guess. So anyway, Jonah is in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And finally, I don't know what he's doing here. He decides, "Well, I'm bored. I might as well pray." And he prays, and the prayer is in chapter 2 of the Bible. And it goes like this. Now, wait, before I read it, let me give you a heads up. Almost every single phrase in Jonah's prayer may be found somewhere else in the Bible. And he is not sincere. He is praying other people's words. And if you pay very close attention, he does two things. One, he blames God for the mess that he's in. And two, he claims to be the most worshipful person on the planet, the most devoted prophet ever. So listen. "I called from my distress to the Lord, and he answered me from the belly of Sheol. I cried for help. You heard my voice. Then you threw me from the abyss in the heart of the seas, and a river surrounded me. All of your breakers and waves passed over upon me. So I said, 'I was thrown away from your eyes. How will I ever gaze upon your holy temple again?' The waters surrounded me. The deep encompassed me. Weeds wrapped around my head at the foundations of the mountains. I descended to the earth. Its bars were shut upon me forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life force fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who revere empty idols abandon their loving kindness. Then I answered in a voice of thanksgiving, 'I will sacrifice to you. That which I vow, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord.'" Well, the fish gets so sick to its stomach at that sickly, syrupy, gross prayer, filled with arrogance and contempt for God, that the fish rises up from the depths of the sea, and the Hebrew word is pukes Jonah up onto the beach. By the way, no offense to my mother, but the Hebrew word for vomit is kay, which was her name. Sorry, apologize to all the K's out there, but anyway. The fish yaks Jonah up on the beach. Then the word of the Lord came upon Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and proclaim to her the message I speak to you. So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's word. Now, Nineveh was just outside of Mosul, if you know where that is in modern-day Iraq. The folks who are watching online can see a picture of what Nineveh used to look like. Until just a few years ago, Daesh or ISIS destroyed everything that was left. And so that no longer remains. Now, to God, Nineveh was a very large city. And while Jonah is obedient, you know, God says, I want you to say whatever I tell you. Jonah doesn't wait to listen to what God wants him to share. Jonah writes a five-word sermon, and it is this: 40 days till Nineveh's overturned. And he walks the streets and screaming this at the top of his lungs: 40 days till Nineveh's overturned. And y'all need to know this too. Overturned. So that word in Hebrew, it refers to something like this. Let's say, y'all like pizza? Y'all like pizza? All right, so Jimmy, what would you put on a pizza if you could make one? Pepperoni, a lot of pepperoni. Seth, what would you put on? Peppers. What would you put on, Catherine? Yes. Bacon. And what would you put on, Ira? Pineapple. I had some pineapple pizza this week. I'm for that. Anything else that we want on the pizza, Nathan? Sausage. I want to put a gob of cheese on there too, right? And then I want to put it in the oven, and I want to bake it really hot for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then I'm going to get a pizza peel, and I'm going to reach in there in the oven, and I'm going to pull it out on that, and then I'm going to slide it onto a plate. And the word in Hebrew that is translated as overturned means this. You take the pizza. I'm about to fall off my box over here. You take the pizza, that hot, fresh, golden, beautiful pizza, and you raise it up in the air, and you slam it on the ground. It's overturned, just like that. That's going to be a nasty mess, isn't it, Hadley? And I'm going to have to clean it up, aren't I? 40 days till Nineveh's overturned. So the people of Nineveh, hearing this five-word sermon, filled with anger, rage, hatred, enmity, old prejudices, every single one of them, some 120,000 people, the Bible says, plus the pigs, the chickens, the goats, and the cows, every animal, plus the people in Nineveh, guess what? Repented. They felt sorry for what they had done. And they called out to the Lord and proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth to say how sorry they were. Everyone from the king to the cows repents. So God sees this. And the Bible says that when God saw what they did, what the Ninevites did, how they repented of their evil way, God repented over the evil he said he would do to them. And he did not do it. God repented over the evil he said he would do to them, and he did not do that. But Jonah, for Jonah, God's forgiveness of his enemies was too much for his heart to bear. Chapter 4, but it was evil for Jonah, great evil, and it burned him up. And so he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh, now, Lord, isn't this what I said when I was in my own land? That's why I ran away to Tarshish in the first place, for I know that you are a gracious God and compassionate, slow to anger, and of great loving kindness, and sorry for evil." Now, those words might sound familiar to you. He's quoting the book of Joel, in which Joel celebrates the fact that God is a gracious God and compassionate, slow to anger, and of great loving kindness, and sorry for evil. What is a blessing to Joel is a curse for Jonah. He says, "So then now, Lord, take my life from me, for death is better than life for me." And then God comes, I just love this, in Hebrew. God comes to Jonah and says, "Is burning up doing you any good? Is burning up doing you any good?" At that, Jonah storms out of the city to the east, and he makes a booth for himself there, a very religious thing if you're familiar with Jewish religious practices and ceremonies. Builds a booth. A booth for himself there, and he sits beneath it in the shade so that he can see when God overturns the city of Nineveh. Meanwhile, the Lord appoints a plant, and it goes up and grows over Jonah's head to provide him some shade in the heat. Jonah rejoices over the plant, great joy. It's like the joy the shepherds felt on the night of Christ's birth. But then God sent a worm. At dawn the next day, and all day, that worm started snacking on the plant. And then the next night, the plant was dead. That next morning, when the sun rose, God sent a hot east wind toward Jonah. And the sun began to smite Jonah's head so that he was faint, and he begged for his soul to die. He said, "Death is better than life to me." And then God came to him once again and said, "Jonah, is burning up over the plant doing you any good?" Jonah says, "Burning up to death is good for me." And then the Lord says, "Jonah, you've had pity on this plant. You didn't dig a hole for it. You didn't take a seed and plant it in the ground. You didn't cover it up with soil. You didn't fertilize it. You didn't water it. It grew up one morning and died the next day." And so then God asks, "Should I not pity the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, and many beasts?" So God comes to Jonah in the end. And he says, "Jonah, I know they did all this evil. I know what they did. But Jonah, I created them. They are my children. Why shouldn't I have as much compassion for them as I have for you? In all of your anger, in all of your hatred, with all of your grudges, with all your complaints. Could I love them any less?" And so here we are today in worship with our anger and with our complaints, with grudges that we've held too long, with prejudices that should have gone away long ago. And God comes to us and asks, "Is burning up doing you any good?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for the story of Jonah. for all of its fun and its humor, and for the serious question it asks each of us to answer. What if you loved the people we hate? God, we feel that hate is such a strong word, and it is. We don't like to think of ourselves as hateful people. But we know that there are people in our lives that we think the world would be better without. People who, if they came across our paths, we would walk the other way. People, if we ever saw them again, we would have nothing good to say. And so, God, we pray that you will forgive us. Fill our hearts with your compassion so that we might truly see even our enemies as your beloved children, as our brothers and sisters. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. Let us stand now and we'll affirm our faith. This affirmation is an old affirmation, but originally it was written by Asbury children who are probably, who knows, 40 or 50 years old now. But let's stand and join our voices together. We believe in God, the loving Father and friend to all, creator of all living things. He is like a big kid, helping people to be nice to each other and encouraging us to do the right thing so that we might live with God. We believe in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was put in a tomb, and was risen for us. He is a loving and caring Savior. He has friends called disciples who we can learn from so that we can become disciples also. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is part of the Trinity, symbolized by a dove. We see the Holy Spirit in surprising ways, like Moses and the burning bush, and everyday ways like our friends at church and in our community. Amen. To become a part of the Asbury Church family, if you're not already, we would love to have you join us. If you're here in the sanctuary and you'd like to profess your, if you'd like to transfer your letter from another church or denomination, you're welcome to do that on the singing of our last, you're welcome to come forward on the singing of our last hymn. If you're joining us online, my email address is there for you on the screen, and you're more than welcome to send me an email, and we'll talk about ways that you can be involved in the life of Asbury as well. Let's please remain standing for our hymn of commitment. We are the church, number 558.
The church is not a sinful, 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 the church is not a sinful,
And I'm really excited to hear Amy Livers bring God's word for us and to see the participation we'll have as well. We want to encourage you to come back for that. I do want to, we need to say thank you to Nicole and for the adults and who helped her and all of our kids for participating in our service. Thank you so much. We were so blessed by y'all. And now would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.